Good afternoon, I'm Casey Shepherd. It's time for us to check the latest agricultural news as we get closer to the 1 o'clock hour. Well, coming up, Teaching Farm is actually bridging the education gap. We'll give you the full story
checking
coming
in on
up
the Beef Checkoff. Joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about this concept of consumers and their attitudes toward protein.
Absolutely. Well, Ron, we know that 88% of consumers sometimes or always consider food as high in protein when choosing a meal. We are also thrilled that a majority of consumers rank beef above other proteins when considering which is a great source of protein. In 2024, 20% of consumers who were following a diet opted for a high-protein version. Our Beef Checkoff funds human nutrition research to provide science-backed data that demonstrates beef's role in a healthy lifestyle for infants, toddlers, adolescents, and adults. Human Nutrition Insights, featured on the Checkoff-funded Beef Research website, highlight beef's protein content and 9 other essential nutrients it provides in informational resources for families of all ages. Additionally, this research supports Checkoff-funded efforts to push beef's nutritional benefits.
Thanks, Heather. You can learn more about what's going on with the Beef Checkoff by going to drivingdemandforbeef.com.
Well, a city school district in South Carolina has taken ag education to a new level. Mike Davis tells us the story.
Over the last several years, Florence One Schools has introduced farm-to-school concepts to students through gardens at many of the district's elementary schools and middle schools. But the farm at Florence One expands that curriculum and provides more opportunities for students across the district. South Carolina Ag Commissioner Hugh Weathers just toured the farm and says he was impressed.
With education, with hands-on experiences for children, actual production going on, plans for more, and very busy since the opening day, they said.
The working farm also has a teaching kitchen on campus.
We actually observed 2 different sessions with the children. It was a great question and answer, and they would sample some of the things that they were talking about cooking.
Weathers says the project takes its farm-to-school mandate seriously.
Got 2 great new greenhouses and doing some hanging baskets with flowers, but also doing some food. I think they probably have 8 to 10 raised bed gardens, producing. Got a apiary, saw a couple of hives there. Got a chicken factory, as we call it, a little chicken coop on wheels that they can move around.
The farm hosts student groups from across the district every day of the school year, and Weathers says it's yielding results.
Children who might come into it saying, I only like French fries and hamburgers, pick something, or hot dogs, and they get a chance to see how the fruits and the vegetables are produced. We had some strawberries, and then they get an education piece, and we got several stories related to us from parents who said, when my child came home, they said, nope, I want to eat this instead of that.
Educators from across the country have visited the farm at Florence One in order to emulate it in their own districts. I'm Mike Davis.
Well, the EPA has released its final insecticide strategy that identifies practical protections for federally endangered and threatened species from the use of insecticides. Now, at the same time, it also provides some flexibility for pesticide users and growers. The strategy identifies mitigations aimed at protecting more than 900 species listed by the Fish and Wildlife Service that EPA considers when it registers a new insecticide or reevaluates an existing one. We have found common sense ways to keep endangered species safe that won't place unneeded burdens on the growers who rely on these tools for their livelihood and which are necessary to ensure a safe and plentiful food supply, says Administrator Lee Zeldin. We are committed to ensuring the ag community has the tools they need to protect our country, especially the food supply, from pests and diseases. EPA will continue to work with stakeholders to update this as additional information becomes available. And that's the latest for our farm and ranch news. Coming up next, Ron Hayes with his reflections. It's on the way.
I'm Amber from Owosso, Oklahoma. I'm a working mom, and I know what it feels like to be busy. But when you make the time to get active, it truly improves every part of your life. Being active is about so much more than fitness. It's about investing in yourself and your mental health. When I'm active, I have more energy and a better outlook on life that allows me to be more present for my children.
Find ways to fit healthy living into your life at shapeyourfutureok.com, a program of TSET.
Last year and thus far this year, the Joplin Stockyards in southwestern Missouri has actually had more cattle run through it than the Oklahoma National Stockyards. But the Stockyards has been for many, many years considered the largest stocker and feeder cattle market. It's been for sale since last October, and it is the last terminal market that actually uses commission firms in existence. Cattle auctions are held on Mondays and Tuesdays, and it's a famous landmark, not just for Oklahoma City, but really for the cattle industry all across the world. Truly, it is a very historic location when it comes to the Oklahoma City market. As we mentioned, last October it was put up for sale, price tag $27 million for basically a 100 acres of prime land right on the Oklahoma River, right along just south of Interstate 40. Well, it looks like it will be sold. There is a purchase agreement that has been put together, a group led by an Oklahoma cattle producer and business owner. This strategic acquisition, they say, will ensure the continued operation of one of the nation's premier livestock markets, Oklahoma City Stockyards. Chris Franklin is managing member of the group purchasing the stockyards. He says, "Our focus remains on supporting our customers, preserving the stockyards' vital role in Oklahoma's and the nation's ag economy, and fostering a thriving marketplace for the livestock industry." While the purchasing group made themselves known to us, it'll be a while before we probably get this thing concluded, this sale done, if it ever happens at all. That's all of our time. See you soon. Ron Hayes for KGGF.